Shatteringness is devoted to the most important and fastest growing segment of society. To those of you who have come to know that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt. That they are counterproductive. That they are working against your interests. That they are not reliable. You should not trust them. And that they cannot be fixed. Our mission is to know who is actually working against us, to understand how and why they are doing so, because exposing and condemning such schemes isn't hateful. It's the most caring thing we can do. Today is Bukuro. It means firstborn children. We're going to continue in our second and third hours today to celebrate the first three Moed Mikre, the celebrations of Pesach, Matzah, and Bukuro, where we become immortal, where we become perfect in God's eyes, and where we are adopted into His family. These are the three most important days each year. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion at any time over the course of the next 3 hours, it's 877-300-7645. I was struck by the fact that there wasn't a single journalist, didn't matter if it was the New York Times, the BBC, the Associated Press, Washington Post, International Herald, Reuters, no one seemed to be able to make the connection. But the Washington Post and the Guardian both won Pulitzer Prizes in public service, mind you, on Monday of this week, for revealing the U.S. government's sweeping surveillance programs. And what this says is a blockbuster series of stories based on the secret documents supplied by NSA leaker Edward Snowden. Now, why do you suppose that I would be so surprised that no one could make the connection that the Washington Post and the Guardian won Pulitzer Prizes in public service for revealing that the U.S. government was engaged in surveillance programs in direct conflict with the U.S. Constitution based upon documents that had been supplied by Edward Snowden? What's wrong with that picture? Edward Snowden is being called a traitor. Virtually everyone in the U.S. Congress and the administration and in America's despicable spy agencies is out for his hide. They want him dead. They want him incarcerated. And yet, based upon his courage, we know the truth. And so the man that had the courage to do the right thing, the man that provided the information that produced such a valuable public service, that won Pulitzer Prizes, is being condemned, while the newspapers that published what he provided are being praised. Where have we gone, America? Where did we lose our soul? Where did we stop thinking? When did we stop being moral? It's appalling. Now, I have no problem with the Washington Post or the Guardian winning Pulitzer Prizes for publishing what Snowden provided, although I don't think either deserved it. Now, if they had made the claim that Snowden was amongst the most heroic individuals in the history of this country for doing what he did, and how these programs demonstrate conclusively that the U.S. government is completely out of control, that it is now in direct conflict with the only document that gives it any legitimacy, and that any pretense of liberty in America has been torn asunder. Had they been forthright and made those connections, then yes, but they didn't. And if in receiving them, they had praised Edward Snowden as a hero, as one of the greatest Americans of all time, then perhaps they would have been deserving. In a related story, an army general, another scum, has upheld Private Manning's conviction and 35-year prison sentence for giving reams of classified U.S. government information to the anti-secrecy website WikiLeaks, the Army announced the same day. Here's another hero. A man whose courage gave substance, absolute, unequivocal proof to everything that I have been saying. That our government cannot be trusted. That our State Department is grotesquely immoral. That they're working against our interests. That our CIA and NSA are completely out of control. That our government knows the truth. It knew long ago that the Afghanistan war was lost and yet allowed Americans to continue to die for nothing. It knew that the Iraqi war was lost and yet continued to sacrifice America's blood. Yes, it demonstrated all of those things were true. Proved them. One of the greatest gifts ever given to the citizens in the free world. A treasure trove of proof. And yet the Army general has said, nope, we're not going to review his prison sentence for doing such a courageous thing, for exposing how grotesquely immoral, unethical, counterproductive we are. No, we're going to lock him up for 35 years in prison because we can. And we'll get away with it because most Americans don't care. Despicable. And yet, James Clapper, the man who lied to Congress, which is a punishable offense, admittedly lied to Congress about his agency multiple times. The man who aided and abetted one of the worst terrorist acts to be perpetrated in the last decade, with full knowledge of it, allowed hundreds of people to die. He still receives a paycheck. It's a fancy allowance, a driver, all sorts of amenities as head of America's spying capabilities. What's wrong with us? Where did we lose our way? When did we start incarcerating people who were advocates of you knowing the truth and start rewarding those who would lie to us? What happened to this country? Why would anyone in their right mind pretend that there's hope for such a country? Why would someone vote for political candidates for such a country? Why would someone salute the military who has done this to this hero? Why? Have we all lost our perspective? It was a horrible, horrible day on Monday, and yet no one seems to care. There's an article out of the, I think Sweden is where this Stockholm, yes, International Peace Research Institute, that makes a declaration that is grotesquely misleading. It said that military spending has fallen in the West. According to new figures released Monday, the world spent less on weapons last year, with expenditures totaling $1.75 trillion. Oh, my. On just weapons. This is not military expenditures. This is just weapons. Implements of death and destruction. The world spent nearly $2 trillion. Oh, but that's a fall in real terms, they say, of 1.9%. You know, when you're dealing with 1.9% of $1.75 trillion, you ought not speak of a trend. Military expenditures for weapons are grotesquely out of control, and they remain out of control. But no, they want to say this was a reduction. The reduction in the global total stems from decreases by Western countries, led by the United States, the world leader in military spending. Yeah, we'll get to America's decrease in a moment. However, last year, Russia spent a higher amount of its wealth on arms than the U.S. for the first time in more than a decade. Now, that kind of infers that Russia spent more, a greater amount of money than did the U.S. on its military, and yet the U.S. outspends Russia almost 10 to 1. I think they meant to say a higher percentage of its wealth, but maybe English wasn't the primary language of the writer of this article. It says that China and Saudi Arabia, along with Russia, are among 23 countries that have more than doubled their spending since 2004. Now, why do you suppose that Saudi Arabia would double its spending? Who would they use their weapons against? Who's supplying their weapons? Well, that would be the United States. And, of course, the target? Israel. For all you Christians out there that think that God is blessing America and he just loves America, you may want to think again when you put those two facts together. Military expenditure in the rest of the world, excluding the USA, increased by 1.8%, which is insignificant. U.S. spending fell by 7.8% in 2013. After a combination of ending the Iraq War and withdrawal from Afghanistan and the budget cuts passed by Congress in 2011, those were sequester cuts. There's only limited truth to that, and the limited truth is because of the sleight of hand that the U.S. is now using to diminish the appearance of military spending by not including its domestic police force, which acts both internally and externally, as well as its spy agencies that are run entirely by the military now, in the overall total. And we'll talk about that when we return to Shattering This. The article concludes with this quote from Dr. Sam Perlow Freeman, director of the CPRI Military Expenditure Program. The increase in military spending in emerging and developing countries continues unabated. And guess who's supplying them their weapons? And you need to ask why. Supplying weapons makes the world safer. Because obviously it doesn't. As for the United States, defense spending in fiscal year 2014 was $820 billion. Yes, we squandered. Absolutely threw away, wasted $820 billion in our budget in 2014. Our expenditures for 2013 fiscal year are almost identical. $819 billion. Trashed, wasted, squandered. In 2012, the number was higher, $850 billion that we scorched in that year. And in 2011, we wasted $878 billion. If you go back a while, though, to get a perspective on this, and don't have to go back very far, just back 6 or 7 years ago, 2006, we were spending about a third less in defense at $600 billion. If you go back just to 2001, right before 9/11, right before we decided we were going to declare a war against a tactic, while arming the actual perpetrator. In 2001, we spent $366 billion in defense. So, yeah, the United States, boy, that I am sure glad that the Swedes have published a document that says the United States has diminished its spending in defense. when we've gone from 2001 at $366 billion to 2014 at $820 billion. Yeah, that's a trend in the right direction, isn't it, folks? By the way, if you going back from 2001, defense spending was fairly flat for a while. In 1996, it was $316 billion. And it was the same, essentially, in 1986. But if you go back to 1976, around the time that Jimmy Carter was conspiring with Zbigniew Brzezinski to arm the Taliban and Al-Qaeda through Pakistan to fight a proxy war in Afghanistan, probably the single most dim-witted, grotesquely immoral, and deadly mistake ever made by America because of where it has led. In 1976, our defense spending was $114 billion, with $5 billion of that going to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Just so that you have a perspective on all of this, if you were to look at the United States budget, it would show, and we'll take year 2012, it would show that the Department of Defense spending was $673 billion. That's because they've carved out Veterans Affairs, the Veterans Administration, which spends a whopping $140 billion. That totals $813. And then you have the new American Gestapo, the Department of Homeland Security. They spend $55 billion. Ah, but don't forget the militants at the NSA, robbing you of your freedom. Yeah, they spent $53 billion. You add those things together and you reach $921 billion. But there's more. You see, the Department of State, which is the base for the CIA and for military grants, they spent another $59 billion, bringing the grand total to just a hair under $1 trillion. In 2012 a year alone, $980 billion. All to rob you of your freedom, to create a police state in America, and to make bad situations worse around the world. We are exactly between our military and our rhetoric, as Yahweh described us in the 18th chapter of Yashayahu. Now, speaking of the 18th chapter of Yashayahu, we will return to it during our program tomorrow. We have taken these 3 days, Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim, to focus on what the meaning of these festival feasts represent in our lives. But we will return to Yahweh's condemnation of America tomorrow. Welcome to Shattering This. Just having a conversation during the break with Aaron, who produces this program. And we were talking about having a moment of silence since the Stanley Cup finals are going to commence this evening in hockey for the U.S. Navy's mini drone that is searching for the airplane that went missing out of Malaysia, of course, being facetious. But I said, you know, why not? We've got sporting events now completely propagandized with all manner of politics and patriotism and religion. Why not just go this one step further? You know, and realistically, you know, I stopped going to baseball games. As Aaron says, if you want to watch a baseball game now, not only do they make you endure the Star Spangled Banner and tell you to take off your hat, put your hand on your heart, and be reverent while it's being played, while staring at the flag, but in the seventh inning, they play God Bless America. Let's have a little religious action here along with our sporting event. I just stopped going. And if you're watching on television, they don't cut away to commercials. No, you're going to endure. God Bless America. Which is just revolting. It's sad what we've done. You know, all the troop reunions that they have, the massive flags, the military carrying in the with the color guard units. You know, it's just all a display of thoughtless patriotism. The 73-year-old man who has been accused, who's actually admitted, shooting and killing three Jews on Passover. He has been identified as a, this was in Kansas City, as a Grand Dragon in the Ku Klux Klan. Now, if your title is Grand Dragon, you are the big serpent. And you carry around a blazing cross. And you go off and kill people because of their skin color. And you particularly direct your animosity towards God's chosen people. While you're using your flaming cross and your white robes and with your grand dragons. You know, somewhere along the way, somebody say, hey, maybe we're on the wrong side here. Maybe we've taken this patriotism and religion thing and blended them together and made a frappe of evil. Did it ever dawn on anyone that maybe if you got a grand dragon leading your clan and that you're celebrating Adolf Hitler and shooting and murdering Jews on Passover, that just maybe you're a little screwed up in the noggin? Well, anyway, he did scream Heil Hitler when he was arrested and giggled at knowing that he had killed three people. He shot two at a Jewish community center in greater Kansas City. The other was at a Village Shalom retirement center. The shootings occurred in the afternoon on the eve of Passover. Washington Post story says the 8-day holiday, which Jews celebrate their freedom from slavery in Egypt. Oh, man. Wake up. It's just a pile of lies. Here you've got a Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon that's murdering Jews, and you got a newspaper that can't get Passover right. Passover is a 1-day celebration. Unleavened bread is a 7-day celebration. They coincide, making collectively it a 7-day celebration. And it doesn't celebrate the freedom of Jews from slavery in Egypt. It celebrates the doorway to life. And it isn't a Jewish thing. Passover, according to God, who last time I checked was a little more credible than is the Washington Post, said that Passover was his. And that it's his party, and he's inviting us to participate. And last time I checked, even in a country that claims to be Christian, you know, the guy that you don't know his name, Yosha, the one you call Jesus, he observed Passover in a most telling way as the Passover lamb. And yet you claim to follow him, and you won't even attend the party of Passover. What on earth is wrong with you? How could you live in such denial? There is one story after another after the Ukraine. It is so desperately troubling what we read in the Ukraine. And before we go into this story, we have Glenn, and I'm going to encourage Glenn to share his thoughts. But it is as if the United States was trying to start World War III. But before we go to the Ukraine, Glenn, welcome.
Hello, my little background noise there, it's fading. About your Grand Dragon.
Yes,
story.
Yes.
Yes, it was like at a Jewish center location, but none of the people he killed were Jewish.
Oh, really? So I got that part wrong. I'm sorry. He tried to kill Jews, thought he killed Jews, but didn't kill Jews.
Yeah, they killed a Oh, this one woman, I've seen her interviewed a couple times.
He killed a woman. Wait a minute. He killed a woman that you have seen interviewed?
No. I've seen a woman interviewed, and I
okay.
killed her. Okay. It was an implicit.
Okay. I'm sorry. Neither of us should be laughing about this, and that's my fault. But by the way, I'm glad you corrected me. He intended to kill Jews. He thought he killed Jews. I reported that he killed Jews, and I was wrong not in my evaluation of his intent, but on my report of his actual deed.
It wasn't dwelling on the correction so much as this one woman lost both her, I think it was her father rather than her husband, and her son, her young teenage son, and then one other person.
Ouch.
But she was a Christian, and she was quite candid about her, confessing her faith in this situation about them going to be with God and all that.
Oh, of course, yes. In fact, I remember reading an article where there was a immediate reaction, and everyone said, "I know for certain that they're in heaven." You know, yesterday I was, and of course, that's. I mean, I understand why people would want to believe that, and I understand that is the lure of religion. That is the promise of religion. That's the lure of religion. And you brought out a point the other day, Glenn, that selling false hope, which is what religion does in this regard, is one of the greatest crimes ever perpetrated against humanity. I was listening yesterday to, and it may have been day before yesterday, I can't say for certain, but Sean Hannity, who is an avowed Roman Catholic, was interviewing for the longest period of time a man who claims that he was in heaven, and that while he was in heaven, Sean Hannity is giving this guy all sorts of credit. So, I want to go to heaven too, and I'm not sure I'm going to get there. So, I want to be where you are. So can you tell me more about what exists up there? And this man was talking about how, he met other individuals who had been part of his family, and some of them recognized him and some didn't. And how if somebody died young, they were all given bodies. And the bodies of those who died young were made more mature, and the bodies of those who died old, they had their own bodies back, which is a physical impossibility. And they were made to be younger. Yeah, and they were all walking around in their bodies just having a great old time. That was what Sean Hannity thought would be appropriate to present to his listening audience now that he, I guess, is on the Salem Radio Network. Why not profess some religious lies?
I kind of don't go after that stuff too much personally. Not quite ready to repeat too much because just of my own ignorance and uncertainty at this juncture.
Let me tell you a couple of stories. First is that when Yahweh wanted to resolve the confusion that Abraham had over what he was inheriting as a result of the covenant, he took him to the spiritual realm and showed him the light of stars so that he would recognize that he was going to become light, energy, spiritual. And when Yahusha was asked about who would be married to whom in heaven, he said, "Are you crazy? I'm not going to have bodies in heaven. I'm not going to marry and have sex in heaven. Are you nuts?" And so I would tell you that that God's position on the matter is quite clear, that there is no such thing as bodily resurrection from a material realm to a spiritual realm. That would be absurdly counterproductive. But that's not the reason you called.
Right. No, actually, since you're on that track, about the other day, I had to go, but you were talking about the transmutation, when the body of Yahusha was created and then it reappeared. It's not uncommon, like in Christianity, I was trying to say the metaphysics of what actually transpired there is already ambiguous. Some Christians who believe that, Jesus, suffered in Sheol, much as, you might say. There are others who believe that, you know, Jesus went down there, and, you know, constantly kicked butt and then emptied out Abraham's bosom, let him it's all very muddy.
No, of course.
And murky, and as a teacher.
Yeah, it, of course, it isn't muddy and murky at all in Psalm 22 and Psalm 88 or Yashaya 53. It's very clear in terms of what occurred. But, yeah, that's the God uses the term Babel for Babylon to explain the nature of religion, because in Hebrew, the word Babel means confusion. Confusion and muddy would be very similar concepts.
But I was under the impression also that Babel was like Gate of God or something. Babylon. You know, anyway. The city Babylon, Gate of, you know, El and On, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Babel, but it's not it's really not Babel in the sense of El God, but you know, the Hebrew word for Babylon, Babel, means to confuse, and it means to confuse using words, which is the worst form of confusion of all. We'll return to Shannon Miss, and we'll continue with Ukraine. Pro-Russian separatists on Monday ignored a Ukrainian ultimatum to leave unoccupied or leave the occupied buildings in the eastern Ukraine, while other groups of rebels, according to Reuters, attacked a police headquarters and threatened, as the government threatened, an offensive against what they called terrorists. The rebels in the town of Slavinsk, which was the focus of a broad government anti-terrorist operation involving the army, issued a bold call for Russian President Vladimir Putin to help them. All right, so here we go. We have the United States, through its CIA and State Department, that inspired already belligerent and often deadbeat Ukrainians to camp out in the square at their capital in Kiev to protest against the government that was going to sign a $12 billion loan package from Russia, from which it receives virtually all of its natural gas, of a country that it was part of for the last 300 years. And the CIA, State Department, operating under the Obama administration, wanted to play as if they were Cold War warriors. And so they inspired them to say, no. Let's create the pretense of unrest and have you camp out in the square. That'll agitate the government to the point where the government finally capitulates. You did it, you know, with the Orange Revolution just a decade earlier. So why not another revolution? And so they did. And after 3 months of camping out in the square and building bonfires and occupying government buildings, they weren't getting the response that they wanted from the Ukrainian government. So they provided weapons to the protesters, and they started throwing Molotov cocktails and burning buildings down, burning cars, and shooting the police. So the police shot back. And working to orchestrate a story, they made it sound like, oh, the government, boy, the government's pro-Russian, the government's militaristic, and it shot innocent people. And this is just a horrible thing, and we ought to let the voice of the Ukrainians be heard, and they want their independence from Russia. It was all a pile of lies. All of it. Orchestrated by the United States. And you know that because guess who's in Kiev today? The head of the American CIA. Guess who is doing all the talking about the Ukraine? It would be the head of NATO. Guess who is moving all of his weaponry so that he finally has a battle that he can fight? Oh, it hadn't been a really good battle for NATO to engage in decades. Oh, they got one now. But this is serious stuff. And all along, the United States was blaming Russia of not being able to get its head out of the Cold War when we were the ones in the Cold War, still fighting it. Didn't bother to think that in Crimea, the majority of the citizens are Russia. They're not going to accept this gang mentality and takeover of their government. And that there's a very high percentage of Russians in the east, where the Ukraine is still productive, it's where all the heavy industry is, that they're not going to stand for it either. And Russia's not going to stand idle while a area that was part of Russia for 300 years acts up like this. Particularly since they owe the Russians $2 billion for gas that they have used that they haven't paid for. And that Russia has its most valuable pipeline going right through the middle of the country because it was part of Russia. Russia can't stand idly by. So why did the United States agitate to this? Why did we bring the world to a precipice of war, which is exactly what we have done? And now you've got this hypocrisy in the media and in politicians' mouths, where when you had protesters in Kiev, they were always presented as peaceful, pro-democracy, pro-West, pro-Europe protesters that simply wanted the voice of the people to be heard. Of course, it wasn't true. And now when you have Russian-speaking individuals who are ethnic Russians or Ukrainians that don't want any part of what they did occupy not one capital, not one city, but a dozen of them. And saying, we don't want war, we just want a referendum. We want independence from that mess. And what are they? Oh, they're terrorists. What are they? And by the way, there isn't a single terrorist act that's been perpetrated by them. But they're terrorists. They're rebels. They're insurgents. Why is it that we just can't tell the truth anymore? Why are we on the wrong side of every issue?